It happened to contain several pounds just then. Surely it would be all right to borrow just 1 shilling. And surely not, too. Quickly I put the idea behind me. And then it was the 29th of December, 2 days left. I had almost forgotten how bitter salt tasted and how long it took to strop a razor blade on my arm, so intrigued was I over the drama of the shilling. That morning the thought occurred to me that perhaps I might find those pennies lying on the ground. I had actually put on my coat and started down the street before I saw what I was doing. I was walking along with head bowed, eyes on the ground, searching the gutter for pennies. What kind of royal way was this? I straightened up and laughed out loud there on the busy street. I walked back to school with my head high, but no closer to getting the money. The last round in the game was the most subtle of all. It was December the 30th. I had to have my application in the mail that day if it was to get to London on the 31st. At 10 o'clock in the morning, one of the students shouted up the stairwell that I had a visitor. I ran down the stairs, thinking that this must be my delivering angel. But when I saw who it was, my heart dropped. This visitor wasn't coming to bring me money. He was coming to ask for it. For it was Richard, a friend I had made months ago in the Patrick slums, a young man who came to the school occasionally when he just had to have cash. With dragging feet I went outside. Richard stood on the white pebble walkway, hands in pockets, eyes lowered. "Andrew," he said, "would you be having a little extra cash? I'm hungry." I laughed and told him why. I told him about the soap and the razor blades, and as I spoke I saw the coin. It lay among the pebbles, the sun glinting off it in just such a way that I could see it, but not Richard. I could tell from its colour that it was a shilling. Instinctively I stuck out my foot and covered the coin with my toe. Then, as Richard and I talked, I reached down and picked up the coin along with a handful of pebbles. I tossed the pebbles down, one by one, aimlessly, until at last I had just the shilling in my hand. But even as I dropped the coin into my pocket, the battle began. That coin meant I could stay in school. I wouldn't be doing Richard a favour by giving it to him. He'd spend it on drink and be thirsty as ever in an hour. While I was still thinking up excellent arguments, I knew it was no good. How could I judge Richard when Christ told me so clearly that I must not? Furthermore, this was not the royal way. What right had an ambassador to hold on to money when another of the king's children stood in front of him saying he was hungry? I shoved my hand back into my pocket and drew out the silver coin. "Look, Richard," I said, "I do have this. Would it help any?" Richard's eyes lit up. "It would, mate." He tossed the coin into the air and ran off down the hill. With a light heart that told me I had done the right thing, I turned to go back inside. And before I reached the door, the postman turned down our walk.